This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
The views expressed by guests on this program do not necessarily represent the views of the host or owners of the Doggy Diva Show and do not necessarily constitute endorsement of products. Medical information discussed by guests on this program are those of the guests and is only for informational purposes and should not replace medical advice by your local veterinarian professional.
Hi, this is Susan Marie from the Doggy Diva Show. This week, Bring Your Cat to the Vet Day, Large Dog Nutrition, and Animal Abuse Information. That's what's on our show this week. Let's get started.
Hey, do you hear that? What is that? It's the bark heard round the world. The Doggy Diva Show. Here's national award-winning author and animal advocate, Susan Marie.
Hi, welcome to the Doggy Diva Show, the show for animal lovers. I'm your host, Susan Marie, and as always, I'm joined by my canine co-hosts, the Doggy Divas themselves, Francesca, Coco, and our newest little diva, Miss Olive. Miss Olive is the cute little Italian Greyhound rescue in the picture with the microphone. Thank you for joining us today as we bring the experts in the pet and animal world right to you. Email us at doggydivashow@aol.com. That's doggydiva show@aol.com. We love hearing from you. So go grab a cup of coffee and your pet's favorite treat, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Has your pet ever suffered from digestive issues, anxiety, or joint pain? We want to address these issues and more with high-grade CBD oil from Alpha, made specifically for your furry friends. Using Alaskan salmon oil as a carrier, Alpha Pet's 500 CBD oil is lab-tested for quality, consistency, and safety. Plus, we are giving Pet Life Radio listeners 25% off and free shipping with code PL25 for a limited time. So visit myalphacbd.com/dogs now. That's myalphacbd.com/dogs. Because your furry friends are family.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to the Doggy Diva Show. We're here with our pet tip of the week from Monica Layton, president of Professional Pet Sitting. Monica, on August 22nd, we have a day coming up for our feline listeners, which is Bring Your Cat to the Vet Day. Can you tell us about that?
Fortunately, the statistics for cat health changes from year to year, but the one thing that we've seen over decades is that a lot of felines just do not get regular checkups or visits. The majority of cats are coming in just when they're ill. And unfortunately, some of the illnesses could have been spearheaded and totally avoided often at times if they would have been seen by a vet earlier. So that's where they came up with the national Bring Your Cat to the Vet Day. And it's really to promote good, healthy cat care. A lot of cats, you know, will come in as a kitten. They'll get their spay or neutered. Maybe their first sets of vaccines. And then oftentimes, veterinarians, you know, we won't see them till years later when they have a problem. A lot of the problems that you see with these cats when they come in can be, for example, we had one the other day. The cat was completely blocked, could not urinate at all because it had an overgrowth of crystals and at that point stones in the urine. But if the pet would have been seen for regular health care before that, the urinalysis would have showed that the crystals were starting to grow. The cat had to be hospitalized for days. It had to be on IV fluids, catheterized. And the problem is with that is when you get a urine blockage, the whole time that urine is backed up into the system, it affects the kidneys and the kidneys start to shut down. And some of these cats that come in have been blocked for a couple days before the owner realizes, oh gosh, it's been 2 days and there hasn't been any urine and I'm looking around my house and we're not seeing any. So something like that could have been easily avoided. Same things with the dentals, you know, looking in the mouth, listening to the heart, being able to diagnose heart disease just by listening during a regular checkup. there's so many vast, you know, varieties of illnesses that unfortunately when the pets come in, are pretty far along, can be avoided with the regular checkups. So that's what the day is all about. And some of the challenges to the pet owners, is one, our cats don't like to travel. They don't like to go in the carriers. They don't like to come into the vet's offices. I get it. It's hard to be the cat mom who loves their animal, but hates torturing it to get it into a box. And they hate, you know, the way it howls in the car. And, you know, the fact that they don't like to come in and they get nervous. It's scary for them. So anything we can do to make that pet visit, you know, that pet's visit more enjoyable and less stressful for the cats, veterinary offices are very proactive in that, because they found that when you institute the fear-free protocols and practices within your practice, those pet owners are having better experiences. The pets are not as upset and they come in more frequently. That way, if you have issues, you can diagnose them. Certain things that pet owners can do at home. They have great products like the Composure Anti-Anxiety Liquid, some of the CBD oils, the Feel Away pheromone wipes. We've all had really good success with all of those products. You know, spraying the carrier with the pheromone spray before the cat goes in, it makes them less anxious for the car ride. You know, soothing music, putting a blanket on top of the crate or carrier after you put them in there. That way it's dark, it's calm. You know, they're not getting bright sunlight, they're not feeling it as much when that, you know, car's moving, anything to calm them down. And then also dealing with the veterinarian office, you know, ask, because many of them will have feline friendly scheduling. For example, you know, we'll have different days with different time frames that are felines only. So you're not coming into dogs barking in the office, or, you know, you're bringing your cat carrier in with a big old dog sniffing the front of the carrier on the way out the door. So, you know, your veterinary offices, a lot of them will have feline preferred scheduling times. So that way you bring your cat in, they're put in a feline friendly exam room that have, you know, the pheromones going to where the cat's not stressed out. You know, nice warm blankets that kitties like, you know, being able to see them, you know, in the carrier as much as possible, high value treat rewards, a nice, calm, quiet office with no barking dogs. All those things can go on to making those visits so much easier. And we've come a long way over the past couple years in fear-free practicing. So definitely, you know, talk to your veterinarian about it if you're concerned about, you know, ways to effectively bring your cat in. That way it's easier on you, easier on the cat, and the cat gets the care it needs.
Thank you so much. And having had numerous cats, and, you know, Holly Berry had the crystals. So we had adopted her. She had crystals and she was on a diet actually her whole life. She did fine, but it's very, 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 very important to identify it. And I know that you practice the fear-free here and it is wonderful. So there are so many vet's offices out there that do it. So, it's great that if you have one like that, because our kitties get a little extra anxious when they're there. So great. 8:22. Bring your cat to the vet day. Thank you so much, Monica.
Thank you. Have a great week.
Hello, everyone. Miss Olive and Sophia the Doggy Diva want to thank you for your amazing response to their special book, Miss Olive Finds Her Forever Home. And they want to let you know that Miss Olive Finds Her Forever Home is now available in both hardcover and softcover. And that's at Amazon.com. As Miss Olive says, woohoo, yippee. Thank you, everyone. Coming up, large dogs have different nutritional needs. More on that next.
Does your dog itch, scratch, stink, or shed like crazy? Come to Dynavite for help.
Order a 90-day supply of Dynavite.
Dynavite is nutrition.
Pick up two bottles of LicoChops, get the third bottle free.
New improved LicoChops with omega-3, omega-6, vitamin E.
And now, 6 extra direct-fed microbials.
Even better for the digestive tract and immune system.
Try LicoChops. Buy two, get one free.
At Dynavite.com.
Dynovite.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Doggy Diva Show. As a pet parent, I care about my pet's nutritional needs. And having had large dog breeds in our family for many, many years, I know the importance of nutrition, proper nutrition, for a large dog. So today with us, our nutrition contributor is going to tell us all about that. We welcome Kim Gablin, Senior Marketing Director at Bill Jack Foods. Hey, Kim, how are you?
Hi, I'm great. Thanks for having me on so we can talk about this big, important kind of issue about large breed dogs.
Yes. And you know, sometimes I think people get caught in, oh, I have a small breed dog, I have a large breed dog, but we could just like do, you know, feed them anything we want. Well, they all have specific nutritional needs. And you know, I'm really glad we're talking about this because, you know, I have a lot of large dog listeners who I think would appreciate what we're going to be talking about today.
Yeah, you know, I think it's really a continuum, right? And I think, you know, again, you know, there's no perfect lines to draw about what's a small breed or, you know, a medium breed or a large breed or even giant breeds. And so, you know, we kind of look at it nutritionally to say that there are some things that kind of change as the dog size changes. And so I think it's important to kind of, you know, today look at what we're talking about on large breeds. And when we say large breeds, we're really talking about dogs that are, you know, 50 pounds or more when they're fully grown.
Yeah, so that's what I was going to ask. What really does define a large breed dog?
Yeah, so, you know, we're talking about, so that 50 pounds is really a large breed dog. And then, you know, if you're talking about giant breeds, a lot of times we're talking about dogs that are over 100 pounds when they're fully grown. And, you know, we're talking about, you know, breeds like, or mixed breeds like Golden Retrievers, German Shepherds, Collies, Bernese Mountain Dogs, you know, Golden Doodles, Labradoodles, you know, Great Danes, Boxers. So again, those dogs that are going to be over 50 pounds when they're fully grown. And you know, some dogs are right there on the verge of being 50 pounds, but you know, typically it's around 50 pounds, give or take.
What are some of the issues that pet parents need to keep their eye out for if they do have a large breed dog?
Yeah, you know, so I think there's a few things to think about. You know, a lot of times people think that large breed dogs need more calories. And so we've certainly talked about this, like when it comes to small breed dogs actually need more calories per pound of dog. But large breed dogs are the opposite. They actually need a little bit less calories per pound to grow and also to, you know, to kind of maintain as an adult.
Well, that's interesting.
And so, yeah, so it's really different. It's kind of opposite what people think when it comes to large breed dogs. So the other thing is that, you know, large breed dogs, they have a lot of pressure on their skeleton, right, on their mm-hmm. knees, on their joints, on their hips. And so it's very important for a large breed dog to think about, you know, keeping them at a very healthy weight, because when they're overweight, that can certainly add to that stress of their joints. And certainly, like as being a dog in a larger frame, that also kind of puts different kinds of stresses on your dog when they're large breeds versus when they're a small or a medium breed dog. So it's really, really important to be able to make sure that you're maintaining your dog's weight, to be able to, you know, help reduce that hip and joint stress that they get and to minimize any risk of, you know, skeletal issues. So feeding up the right amount of food is really critical when you're actually taking care of a large breed dog. And certainly you want to look for a diet that's going to be specifically formulated for them.
Well, what is like a good special dietary needs? What are the dietary needs of larger breed dogs?
Since they need a little bit less from a caloric density standpoint, you're probably going to be looking for a food that has a little bit less protein and a little less fat than the typical adult dog food. So that's kind of what we do at Bill Jack. We actually have a slightly lower protein and fat ratio that we formulate for to be able to help kind of manage the amount of calories that your dog is eating. And, you know, it's important to look for a large breed formula because that will help you kind of have that. A lot of large breed formulas also may contain things like naturally contain glucosamine and chondroitin sulfate. And so there's some ingredients that are really important that are kind of helpful to help support that large dog health. And you know, when it comes to puppies, that's when it's really important too, because, you know, puppies, they may grow, you know, if you think about a large breed dog, they may be born when they're like maybe a pound, but they're going to grow to maybe 100 or 120 pounds by the time that they're full grown in that 18-month period. So they do have a lot of growth that happens not very quickly necessarily, but over time for them to get very large. And so it's important to be able to make sure that you're looking at the food that you're feeding and what they're recommending that you feed your dog, and that you don't think that they need more calories like we were talking about. You don't want to overfeed them. You want to make sure you're feeding them just the amount that they're supposed to have and that they're maintaining that weight and, you know, and growing properly along the way.
We spoke briefly about the joints for joint support. Doesn't Bill Jack have something that actually works with joint support, probably especially for large breed dogs?
Yes, you know, we do have a regional product that's, I always say it's kind of available kind of in the Northeast or, you know, east of the Mississippi. And it is really a joint health support formula, and it's really great for adult dogs. And it really can help kind of, it gives them some of those extra support that they might need to be able to help, kind of keep those joints in good shape and kind of help to provide the kind of the key nutrients that they need for that.
Well, you know, Olive's not a big dog, but I think I'm going to start using that for her because her little joints need as much help as they can, because it is, as they get older, you know, these things happen, especially, I think, if they're large breed dogs.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, what we hear is, you know, a lot of people, and you don't have to be just a large breed dog to be able to benefit from a joint support formula. You know, some small dogs absolutely can, like, you know, Olive, she's got extra stress on her joints, right, because she has three legs that she's walking on, and so that really makes a big difference in maybe how her body is reacting to that stress on her skeleton. We also hear, wiener dogs, for example, you know, so dachshunds, long dogs can sometimes have joint challenges, and so being able to give them a little extra support to help with that can really be a very good thing, and can make a difference, right? Can make them feel a little bit better and a little more active. And also, you know, a lot of times if you have an older dog, we also have a lot of comments back about, you know, gosh, you know, they're getting older. I don't think there's much that I can do, but they're slowing down. And so, a lot of times it could be that they're not just slowing down and getting older, but maybe they're having a little bit more challenges or concerns with their joints, and so they're slowing down and you're thinking that they're getting older, but maybe they're just having, you know, more issues with their joints and they don't feel like moving around as much. And so sometimes it can be very helpful as you have a dog who gets older, and you can kind of help support that whole system to be able to, you know, to be able to feel good and be healthy and kind of, you know, keep going, and that can be a very good thing as well.
Yeah, that's really important. Beyond the dog food and beyond supplements, you guys have some great treats that also for dogs, you know, puppies, you have the little treats, you have treats for like the bigger dogs for all different ages, sizes, and breeds. Can you tell us about some of your treats?
Yeah, you know, we have a wide range of fun, tasty, yummy treats. And they're really, you know, we have, like you said, lots of different kinds. We have some smaller kinds called Little Jacks. They're one of our favorites, too. You know, I don't have to feel guilty about giving Blizzard one or two of them or whatever. You know, he's very happy to get a little bite of each one. They're great for training small dogs or big dogs. We also have some bigger treats. So if you have a larger dog, we have Original Recipe, which is kind of the same as a Little Jack's, but in a bigger size. And then we also have PB Nanas and Yapple Nanas, which are also a little bit bigger, but are great for, you know, some variety and something different, and, you know, something to kind of keep it fun and exciting and rewarding when you want to give them something special.
I know they are. They're very tasty, and I love the way the bags are designed. They're beautiful. They're very cute.
Just have a little fun with that.
I know, it's so cute. And as I told you, we're like a Bill Jack, the Little Jack's family. So I always have a bag with me. Always to. In fact, just before we came on the air with you, everybody got a treat because everyone was all excited. They go, okay, we're going to. Everyone gets a treat. So they're all ready. And just for the listeners who want to learn more about this, I know you have your great newsletter. They can learn a lot of tips, get a lot of information. Where can the listeners go to learn more about Bill Jack?
Yeah, you know, come out to our website. It's billjack.com. It's billjac.com. And we have out there our blog. You know, you could type in large breed dog and you can find out some more information about large breed dogs, about nutrition or special care. We also have a great newsletter, like you said, called the Best Friends Club. And up in the top in the navigation bar, you can join the Best Friends Club, and we send out an email once a month, and a lot of times we offer coupons that you can sign up for. You just have to click on the link and request them. So we have lots of good things there. And then we also come out to our Facebook and Twitter. We're also on Pinterest and Instagram. We really try to, we're looking for stories that you're telling us about your dogs and Bill Jack and how you care for them and what fun you're having over the summer. And we really try to reshare some of those things along with some of the articles and things that we do as well.
Well, there's a lot, you know, to find. And also for people who want to find out where they can get Bill Jack and get the treats, the food and the treats, where can they go?
Yeah, you know, on the website, there's a store locator. It's one of the tabs as well on the website. And you can go in there and you could put in your address or you could put in your zip code and it'll come back and it'll tell you which stores are near you, and they're kind of ranked by how close they are to you. And then it'll also tell you kind of which products that store carries. So we try to keep that up to date as much as possible to make it easy for folks to find the particular product that they're looking for.
And you guys are also available on Chewy, too.
Yes, absolutely. You know, I think that we've really gotten a lot of feedback, and so we're available on both PetSmart.com and on Chewy.com for people who are looking to be able to get it shipped right to their door and make it easy and simple.
Absolutely. We love easy and simple here. Well, Kim, I thank you very much. This is a lot of great information, and I think that a lot of the large breed pet parents out there are going to learn a lot from this and appreciate all of this information because it's very, very helpful. Having had large breed animals most of my life, I understand, you know, that there are some different needs and there are some different things that, even though I'm a totally small dog person now, I've had large dogs my whole life, so I know the difference. So I appreciate it, and I thank you very much, and we'll be talking to you again soon.
Thank you so much.
We'll be back in just a moment. Coming up, how hairstylists are helping curb animal abuse. How they're doing it, next.
Hair everywhere! How do you manage your cat's hair, hairballs, and dander when they're not really fond of bathing? The answer is just a whisker away with catnip bath wipes from Whitegate. It's the only cat wipe on the market that's infused with natural catnip oil. Catnip bath wipes will leave your cat happy, calm, and playful, and you'll both look forward to bath time. Go to WhiteGateInc.com, that's WhiteGateInc.com, and enter the code CATNIP for 15% off site-wide plus free shipping. That's right, 15% off. We're not kidding.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Doggy Diva Show. Since 1987, Red Rover has focused on bringing animals out of crisis and strengthening the human-animal bond through emergency sheltering, disaster relief services, financial assistance, and humane education. To tell us more about Red Rover today and how it is building a more compassionate future and changing lives nationwide, we welcome back the CEO of Red Rover, Nicole Forsythe. Welcome back, Nicole.
Thanks for having me on the show again.
Oh, it's our pleasure. For the listeners who may not be familiar with Red Rover, could you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, Red Rover is a national animal welfare organization. We're based in Sacramento, California, but we do work throughout the United States and parts of Canada as well. And we're kind of like the American Red Cross for animals. So we help when animals and people are in crisis together. So it could be temporary sheltering during a natural disaster when animals have been displaced. We also help animals who've been rescued from animal cruelty, criminal cruelty seizure cases, puppy mills, dog fighting, hoarding cases, that sort of thing. And then we also really are trying to prevent emergencies from happening in the first place. So, you know, educating people about ways they can prevent veterinary emergencies. We also offer grants for people when they can't afford emergency veterinary care. And then also trying to find ways to prevent neglect and abuse in the first place by working with children, helping teachers use the program in schools to help children understand animal behavior and practice the skills they need to have empathy for both people and animals as a way to prevent neglect and abuse in the first place. So that's Red Rover.
That, and you guys cover a lot. And in the past, we've talked about, you know, your recovery programs and the different ways that you're working with areas that have been impacted by disaster. So can you just tell the listeners a little bit about the Red Rover Relief Program?
Sure. Yes. Yeah. So when people can't afford emergency veterinary care, that's our Red Rover Relief Program. And it can be, you know, most of the time it's when someone really has something they weren't anticipating, so not the regular vet care, but, you know, an emergency they weren't expecting. And oftentimes our grants really just get them in the door, you know, help them get some time to set up a payment plan with a veterinarian. Our case managers are on the phone to work with people to help them, you know, get the estimates, develop, you know, help them with fundraisers online to raise the rest of the money. So it's a really valuable way for people to kind of, you know, keep that bond intact. We don't want them to give up their animals at shelters. We want them to feel it's okay, you know, to save their animal. A lot of people call us and they just, you know, they're hearing from their friends and family, why would you spend $4,000 on your dog or your cat? And, you know, our case managers are there saying, hey, you know, pets are family. It's okay. We're going to help you through this and we'll find a way for you to raise the money. So it's a pretty amazing program to see in action.
It is. And as I said, you know, you do work with a lot of relief programs, but one of the things that I find to be very good, and I'm not sure how many organizations do this, I know that you are and that you're very impactful in this area, but could you please explain pet-friendly domestic violent shelters and why it's so important for us to have pet-friendly domestic violent shelters?
Yeah, so one of the things, you know, as we've been doing all of the calls and work with people that are in a crisis situation, domestic violence kept coming up as an area where we were seeing a real need. So we started off by offering temporary boarding at like a boarding facility for people who were trying to escape an abusive situation and they couldn't bring their pets to domestic violence shelters. So we started doing that first. And then, you know, we realized, boy, this is getting expensive because people often need to stay in a shelter for 30 to 90 days. And, you know, that's really expensive to board an animal that long, even with discounts. So we started to look at, you know, what's going on here? Why won't the domestic violence shelters accept pets? So we began working with them, doing some outreach. There was already someone who had developed a manual for kind of how to do this. So we worked with her to help make more people get that information, the domestic violence shelters could start to look at, you know, how could they accept pets? Because it became really obvious that pets were a huge barrier for people leaving. Mm-hmm. So not only was it important for the pets who would be left behind, and of course we want to keep people together, you know, part of our mission is to make sure we strengthen that human-animal bond. Mm-hmm. The last thing we want is for people to be separated from their pets, especially during a crisis situation where, you know, they could benefit from that bond even more so. So we don't want to leave the pets behind. But then we also discovered that people weren't leaving because of the pets. And the more we looked into this issue, it became clear that the pets are actually used in domestic violence. So the abuser will, it's not just them saying, hey, if you leave, I'm going to hurt your pet, or if you leave, I'm going to bring the animal to an animal shelter, I'm going to hurt the pet, I'm going to stop feeding the pet. They're used as a way to manipulate and show power over them. So sometimes the victims, the domestic violence victims, didn't even realize how much the pets were being used against them. And so getting them out of the situation is critical because they may also be used to get them to go back. We know that domestic violence victims will go back to their abusers, and so making sure the pets leave with them is one really great way to prevent some of the ways that people are forced to go back.
You know, Nicole, that's so important. And I think about 10% of the United States domestic violence shelters allow pets. Can you share with us the work that Red Rover's doing with other organizations to increase the number of pet-friendly domestic violence shelters?
Yeah, so we have been doing this outreach and offering grants to the domestic violence shelters to be able to build facilities or add kennels or change rooms, you know, whatever they need to do to accept pets. And since we've been doing this, we've given our 100th grant. So we've given 100 different grants. And so, you know, that number, as you mentioned, 10%, well, it used to be 3%. So that That jump from 3% to 10% is largely due to our grants that we've been giving to help these shelters become pet friendly. And of course, 10% is still not enough. So we're going to keep doing this. We, a lot of the domestic violence shelters have various obstacles and barriers to them doing this. So we really are handholding them. We talk on the phone, we go to conferences, we do presentations, and just kind of, you know, talk them through the process of how they could start small. You know, just have a few kennels in a few rooms, have a few outdoor kennels, you know, really small ways they could start to look at this and then eventually expand. And every single one we've ever given a grant to has not regretted this, because not only is it good for their clients and the pets, but also their staff and the community, because they find they get increased support when they bring pets into this issue. So they get new donors. It's really a win-win from everyone's point of view, and it's just getting them to change and start small.
And it's so important, and the work that you do is... Now, about how many states have these shelters in them currently?
We have... There's at least one domestic violence shelter in 45 states.
Wow.
So our goal, 2020, and I'm pretty sure we're gonna meet it at this point, our goal by 2020 is to make sure at least every state has one domestic violence shelter that can take pets. So we have five left, and we just knocked one off the list. It was six just a little while ago, and now we're working on Maine. Maine currently did not have a domestic violence shelter that accepts pets, and we are on the ground right now helping them transform their shelter to be pet-friendly.
Yeah, can you tell us about that? Because the final build-out is coming out up shortly. Can you tell the listeners a little bit about that?
Sure. So not only do we give out the grants, but we often will partner with another organization called Greater Good, greatergood.org, and they have a program called Rescue Rebuild, where they will help animal shelters build things, but they also help domestic violence shelters do these builds to accept pets. So we work with them sometimes, and we have our Red River Responders volunteers to typically help take care of animals during a natural disaster or other kind of emergency sheltering operation. But we also deploy them to help with these domestic violence shelter builds, where Greater Good uses their construction expertise and our volunteers are just put to work. And so it's a wonderful partnership, and they will be finishing. They started the project, and they'll be finishing it by the end of this month. And they are on the ground laying concrete and building fences and creating really fun catios and cat walkways to keep the cats entertained. So it's pretty pretty exciting project.
You're going to have a pretty well-known celebrity animal advocate who does a lot of work for animals. I really admire her for her work. Maria Menounos there.
Yes, yes.
That's wonderful.
We are very fortunate to also be partnering with Purina, and they are funding a lot of our grants that we're doing over the next 5 years. They will be donating over $500,000 to these projects,
wow,
which is fantastic. And so the projects that we do with Purina, we're calling them the Purple Leash Project. And in addition to the funding, they're really helping us build awareness around this issue to make sure more domestic violence survivors know that they have resources to help with the pets.
With all of the inspiring work that Red Rover's doing, and it does take a team, a true village, how can we help? You know, is there anything that the listeners could do to help or to become involved, or, you know, donations? Is there anything that we could do?
Yeah, certainly the easiest way to help is by becoming a donor. You know, monthly donations do so much because it saves on paper and mailing, and you don't have to think about it. You just set up for $5 a month or whatever amount you can afford, and it just goes directly to helping, you know, bring animals out of crisis and into care and help these kinds of operations like the domestic violence shelter builds. And the other thing on our website, redrover.org, that's a great place for people to visit to find out how to donate. And there's other ways people can help spread the word about domestic violence and pets. So I would encourage people to sign up to receive our email. October is not too far away, and that's Domestic Violence Awareness Month. And we'll be doing all sorts of activities to help increase awareness about pets and domestic violence. So people who sign up for our email will get more information about that coming up.
Wow, that's great. Now, before we go, Nicole, is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners today?
Oh, boy, we covered so much. I hope that, you know, people do know if there's domestic violence is a lot more prevalent than people used to think it was. 1 in 3 women and 1 in 4 men will be a victim of some kind of domestic violence or assault by someone they know, which is really kind of scary. So, you know, I encourage people to, you know, listen to friends and family. If they hear signs where they think someone's trying to control or manipulate a person, you know, let them know about our website. We have a website called safeplaceforpets.org. And it's a really easy searchable database where people can put in their zip code or their provincial code because it's in the United States and Canada. And they can look up, you know, what resources might be in their area if they do need a plan to escape. And there's other resources there too that they're just, it's great to share. You know, a lot of people don't realize that hairdressers, beauticians are the number one person told about domestic violence. Because it's often, you know, a very safe place and you start talking and people can kind of, you know, get some warning signs there. And so there's actually legislation in some states that's passing that requires hairdressers to get trained in domestic violence. So another really easy way people can help in this situation is let their hairdresser or their beautician know about Red Rover and the resources we have for domestic violence and pets. We have these little wallet cards that people can get online at our website, redrover.org, to share with hairdressers. So again, it's just a really easy way people can help spread the word.
You know, I met you last October. We were talking about Domestic Violence Month, and you had mentioned the hairdresser as being the key, you know, sometimes the key or the conduit to the person recognizing that they do need help or that they can go for help. And I never knew that till you said it, and it made so much sense. So I'm glad you brought that up because it is. It's amazing the things that go on that people maybe don't recognize, and if they're a little more intuitive to it, how they could help the person, you know? And especially what you're doing to help the person who may be staying because they don't want to leave their pet behind. And I admire you, and I think it's wonderful what you do. And Nicole, I want to thank you again for being our guest today and, you know, for the truly positive impact that Red Rover's making in our communities nationwide and your goal to build a more compassionate future for both humans and animals and strengthen that human-animal bond. What you do is phenomenal. And I thank you for being a guest with us today because it's great to be able to share that so that the listeners can learn more. And of course, they can always go to redrover.org to learn more about what you do and to learn about where maybe they could help or if they just may need to contact you to learn more for their own personal benefits. So I thank you again. This is really, really relevant and really, really important. And
thank you.
Yeah, best wishes on July 27th too.
Great. Thank you. And it's wonderful to always be on here. Thank you.
It's our pleasure. And we will be back in just a moment.
Begging to hear more of your favorite show? Full episodes of all our shows are available on demand. Go to PetLifeRadio.com to fetch our entire lineup of Possum Pet Podcasts. Also, dig us up in iHeartRadio and iTunes. Let's talk pets. Live and on demand only from Pet Life Radio.
We would like to thank our guests this week. And also, as our doggy divas always say, please love your pets because they love you unconditionally. And please remember to adopt, foster, spay, neuter, and microchip. And as always, please have a great Diva Week, everyone.
The views expressed by guests on this program do not necessarily represent the views of the host or owners of the Doggy Diva Show and do not necessarily constitute endorsement of products. Medical information discussed by guests on this program are those of the guests and is only for informational purposes and should not replace medical advice by your local veterinarian professional.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.